Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Mac, and you are listening to Mac's Musings. Blog Talk Radio is having technical difficulties, so hopefully we can get this show started soon. We'll see if I can get my guest this time. My guest is Pop Baby, so let us see if we can get him this time. Hopefully we can. It took me a while. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, you can hear me this time. Yeah.
I know.
We're actually,
finally.
Yeah, really. Well, we're actually on the air, and I already said how Blog Talk Radio was having technical difficulties. It happens sometimes with them. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. Technology, am I right?
That's really, yeah. And then the right. other thing with this, too, and it happens actually all over. It even happens on news shows where they have, like, a layover where one person is talking, but the other person doesn't know they're talking. So that'll
That's
happen,
right.
like, every once in a while. Okay, so let's get started, and I'm going to say your name again for anybody that just tuned in. Pop Baby, singer-songwriter. So tell us about, you know, how long have you been doing this? Was it something you've done all your life? And how did you come up with the name?
Yeah, so, you know, I've always been musically involved. I started taking piano when I was 6. And was just kind of grinding and hustling ever since I was an adolescent, just trying to get on stage as much as I can and kind of just really dive into the music scene as I got older. And it's funny how I got the name because a lot of my peers would refer to me in the friend groups as the baby because I'm the youngest out of everybody because a lot of my friends are older than I am by like either a year or two. And since I do a lot of, I do pop music, the name just kind of like was a thing. It started out as a nickname, actually. It doesn't start out. And then after a while, people just started to call me that and the name just kind of stuck. And it was just something that, you know, I just rolled with, you know.
Cool. So you're based in Pennsylvania. What part of Pennsylvania?
In Pittsburgh, around north of Pittsburgh.
Ah. When I lived there, I lived in Brentwood. Do you know where that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice area.
I think I have some friends out there. Yeah.
So now,
yeah, I think I have some friends that live out there.
So when you, because I'm just assuming here, because now that a lot of the restrictions have been lifted and everything with COVID, you've been doing live shows, right? Because I know you've got one coming up. And
yes,
Well, before we get to, like, where that's at, and then you can tell people about the tickets and everything, but I did want to ask you, do you do mostly PA, or do you travel, like, to other states for shows, or just mostly PA?
Yeah, just mostly PA at the moment, because, you know, with all, like, the restrictions and everything that has happened year or so, it's been kind of difficult to travel, and some, you know, traveling restrictions are still kind of hectic in some places. So I've basically been staying in the Pennsylvania region, but the goal is to, you know, start branching out so that I can, you know, get some more experience and visit other places to, you know, widen my audience and to just share my appreciation for the art of music with other people from other places besides my hometown.
Well, yeah, with the restrictions and everything, I can understand that. But, you know, some people have been traveling, so it didn't hurt to ask. Since we already mentioned it, we might as well talk about it now, and then you can mention it again at the end of the show. My guest, Pop Baby, is going to be at the Hard Rock Cafe on May the 9th. And so if you will let the people know, what time does it start? Is there a cover charge? Where and how can they buy tickets and, you know, stuff like that?
Yeah, it's at the Hard Rock Cafe, like you said, May 9th. And the doors open at 7 and the show starts at either 7:30 or 8. And you can either buy tickets by messaging me on social media across all platforms at Pop Baby Official, and you can even, you know, I can hold your tickets at the door, or you can purchase them from me personally. And I'm really excited. I think it's going to be a great show, and, you know, this is a venue that I have looked forward to playing for a very long time, and now that I get the opportunity to do it, I'm really, really excited. I'm really planning something special, and I really hope that a lot of people will come out and, you know, enjoy the live music scene that we have to offer.
Well, that is a well-known place. So how did you get the gig? Do you have an agent?
I actually got the gig through a booking agency here in Pittsburgh that I have worked with before on other shows. And, you know, I've obviously stayed in touch with them for a long time, and they reached out to me and they asked me, do you want to do this show at the Hard Rock Cafe? And after they told me about it, I was like, of course I do, because, you know, I think this would be a really good opportunity, and I think it would be a lot of fun. So, of course I had to. So, yeah, that's kind of how I got the gig.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good, because that's going to be a good little feather in your cap there. Going to look good on your resume.
Yeah, it will. I'm really excited.
Yeah, well, anybody that's listening and anybody that's going to listen to the recorded version, they're all excited for you, too.
I
have a
so.
Really good friend. I have a really good friend I have a few friends that are musicians, but this one is a really good friend of mine. I've known him, like, since I was 20 years old, and that was quite a while back. But he's a one-man band. And he goes, like, all over the place, mainly in the tri-state area of Ohio, because he's based in Ohio like I am, and he mainly just goes in the tri-state. But he does go around a little bit. And so I know a lot about having to, you know, what you have to do to get those gigs and how things can happen, and you might lose them for whatever reason. So I wanted to ask you this, because my friend does this. Do you ever not necessarily that you're doing the thing for free, but to do benefits, like if you go to a place and, like, one thing that he does is he goes to schools where they have special needs kids, and he gets paid, but he plays for them, and they get up and their version of dancing, because a lot of them are in wheelchairs, so they're not really dancing, but their version of it. And so he does a lot of that. Do you do anything like that?
Well, I've never been approached to doing anything like that, but of course I would be willing to do stuff like that, because, you know, people like that inspire me the most, because, you know, it makes you really think, you know, we take a lot of the special things that we have for granted sometimes, and we don't really realize how easy we have it until we look at people that might not have it as easy as we are, and they should also you know, get the chance to feel special and to feel like they are included in certain things. So if there was ever an opportunity to ever get to do that and share my music and to share my creativity with them, that would honestly just mean the world to me. And I would probably feel even more humble doing it, knowing that, you know, I made someone feel special and included, even when they may not feel like they are.
Well, I, you know, and now don't take this wrong. This is just like maybe advice or just take it however you want, except don't take it the wrong way, hopefully. But now my friend, when he first started, which was a long time ago, when he first started doing that, he just called the place and said, hey, would you like to have some entertainment? And they said, sure, come on down. And so they had him come down, and he did the entertainment for him. Now, one time I was there when he was doing entertainment for special needs kids, because I'm not working as a nurse right now, but I'm a nurse. And so one of my charges was a special needs child, and he was in school at the time. And it just came out of nowhere. I didn't even know that he was supposed to be there. He just was there. And so, of course, I was excited because he was there. And the kids were all excited. And some of those kids that never, ever responded to anything, they were moving around and trying to dance. And it was great. So, yeah, it does a lot. So you might want to think about it. Just even like if you know of a place somewhere around you, you might even just want to call them. You never know.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I definitely think that would be a great thing to do, because I know that Pittsburgh probably has a lot of really great special places for patients like that. So I think that would definitely be, you know, an opportunity that I would definitely want to take advantage of.
Well, and especially the schools for them, because they have the large auditoriums and stuff where you'll have plenty of room and the kids will have room to dance around and move around. And you might get kids coming up to you. They're usually well-behaved, usually, but you might have kids coming up to you and asking you your name or saying stuff to you, but, you know. You learn to deal with it, like with anything else, because you can have that happen anywhere. It doesn't have to be special
You're right.
needs.
Yeah, that's
my
right.
My friend has had people come up to him while he was singing, didn't even wait for him to be done, and started asking him questions and requesting songs. It's like, you can't even be polite to wait till he's done singing.
I think that's kind of sweet.
No, I'm talking about regular people. When he's at, not the special needs people, because that you expect stuff like that because they don't know any better. I'm talking about say if you went to a bar, and you said, I take requests, just let me know if you want to. If you want me to play something for you. Now, most people are going to wait until you're not singing to ask you, because that's polite.
Yeah.
But no, this guy just walked right up and interrupted him while he was singing, and it threw him off a little bit, because people don't usually do that. and you don't expect it.
Yeah.
Now, in a place where you have special needs, or like say if you're in a nursing home and they've got dementia, then you expect that stuff, and it's okay, so what? But when it's somebody who doesn't have a problem and they're being rude, well, then that's just rude, and I don't like rude people.
Oh well. Oh well.
Yeah.
What you gonna do?
Yeah, I know. Really, what are you gonna do? So now, are you mainly solo, or do you ever play with a band or with other people or do duets or whatever?
Yeah, and I'm mostly, you know, a solo artist, but just like anyone else, I started out playing and performing in, like, choirs and show choirs, and I've been in other, like, small bands in, like, my early years, you know, just starting out, and then kind of started branching out on my own. So, but I think important to start off working in a team or in a group of people because, you know, this industry is a lot about working together and knowing how to work with others. And I feel like learning from other people and learning with other people, it allowed me to gain the confidence that I have now. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've asked different people this. I've had all different kinds of guests. Usually they're people in the movies, but not always. But I like asking this question in one way or another. It's usually like, what if you could be in a movie with any actor, which movie would it be? So in your case, I would ask you, if you could do a duet with anybody throughout history, living or dead, so, you know, like if you could just piece it together and do it with somebody who's dead, who would you want to do a duet with?
I mean, there's so many people that I could choose from, but honestly, the one person I would have loved to ever work with would have to be Frank Sinatra, because he is probably, in my mind, one of the greatest male vocalists of our time. And a lot of his, I practically learned a lot of my technique and, you know, my vocal agility, learning from singing along to his records in the car and, you know, on the record player, and just, you know, watching old videos of him performing in the showrooms of Las Vegas. And I always imagined singing along to him as if we were singing these songs together as a collaboration. So yeah, he would definitely be the person I would have really wanted to work with if he were still here today.
Well, one of the things that you could do, if you're any good at that, and if you had a gumption to do it, is you can take one of his tape performances and then just, like, weasel your own performance in there for a duet. I mean, it's been done a lot by people. Even famous people have done it, so that they could have a duet with somebody who was long dead. So yeah, maybe you might want to try that, maybe at home, and see how it comes out. I think it sounds interesting. So,
I mean, it would definitely be what with the technology these days, you know, that could definitely be easily done.
Yeah. But I do realize your point that it's not the same as really singing with somebody. So of somebody that's alive that you actually have a chance, maybe, and I'm just saying just because they're alive, there's always a chance. Who's somebody alive that you would want to sing with, have a duet?
Probably John Lennon, legend, or maybe there's so many. Probably either like Brandon Urie of Panic at the Disco, or even, you know, let's get a female, because male and female duos are good too. probably like myself and Mariah Carey, because, you know, she's one of the greatest artists ever, and, you know, she inspired my songwriting. Like, I kind of, like, every record I've ever written, I have imagined, you know, like, how would she do this, because I have times where I don't feel confident enough, and I try to put myself into someone like her shoes, and that kind of, you know, helped me get through it.
That's interesting. And it's also one of the things that I know from doing a few shows, that that's the kind of thing that people want to hear from artists. And you're an artist, you're a singing artist. That's the kind of thing they like to hear, where you get your inspiration, how you work it into your routine and stuff like that. They love hearing that stuff. That's one reason why I asked the questions. So, getting off of singing for just a minute, because I know you have a shopping website or some kind of shopping website. So what's that all about? And, like, what do you sell there? And how can people go there and buy the stuff that you want to sell?
Yeah, so I sell my own merchandise on there. Like, I have CDs. I have special, like, bumper stickers that have, like, my name and stuff on them. And pretty soon I'm going to be having more stuff stocked up, like T-shirts and, hoodies to be made, and you know, and with the industry now, there's a lot of some of these things called NFTs, which is like kind of like merchandise, and it's just like stuff that you make that is tailored specifically to your brand, and you can sell them online. It's almost kind of like, it's almost like Bitcoin, I'm pretty sure, almost. Looking more into stuff like that, because that's kind of what a lot of artists are doing these days. So that's going to be something, you know, that I'm going to be really working towards.
Very cool. So what's the address to the website in case anybody wants to go and buy something from you?
Yeah. It is linktr.ee/EvanPeterZach. And if you go on that site, it takes you to all of my social media, to all my merchandise sales, and all kinds of updates about what's going on with my career and my performing schedule and just, you know, fun things to, you know, interact with one another between myself and, you know, the audience.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, so they can keep updated on what you're doing and where you're going to be doing it.
Exactly.
Like the Hard Rock Cafe on May 9th, I just thought I'd put another plug in for that.
That's right. You know it.
So I know that you are a singer and a songwriter. Do you have any ambition at all? And it's, you know, it's just a question. It doesn't mean anything, like, you know, either way, if it's yes or no. But do you have any ambition at all for writing or singing in a movie or a documentary?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that would be a great thing to do. I remember I have had the opportunity to write a score for, it was an upcoming off-Broadway musical. It was about a year ago when I did it, and unfortunately, due to the world's circumstances, the show never ended up happening. But I was really excited to get like that opportunity. From my own songwriting, I was able to, like, just by having people listen to it and networking, I, you know, got the opportunity to write for them. And I just wrote one song in the beginning, and I was going to write more. And then COVID shut the whole project down, which was really, really sad because I was really eager to see where the project was going to go. But if something ever like that came up ever again, I would love to do that.
Cool. And would you want to just do it by yourself? And there's nothing wrong with that either. Or would you be open to it if they asked you to sing, like, with others, like in a band or something?
If I were approached to do that, I would probably just do it on my own, just because, you know, I, not to say that I wouldn't like to ever collab with anybody, but I just think I would want to showcase something in a project like that can do on my own, mm-hmm. so that, you know, it's not like, oh, I need to have, like, I want to show the world I can stand on my own 2 feet as an artist.
Right.
But collabing with other people also would be something I would definitely be interested in, because I think, like I said earlier, working and collaborating with other people just gives us artists more of an excuse to be even more creative, because we can expand our minds and broaden our ideas. So that would definitely be something interesting that, you know, maybe down the road.
Oh, yeah. Well, and again, like I had said earlier, it doesn't matter either way if you want to go solo, if you're willing to play with others, because everybody's got their own thing. So your thing is you prefer the solo, but I'm sure that if they offered you like a, I hate to use the term, but I can use it because it's a PG-13 show, a buttload of money to sing with a band, you would probably do it. Am I right? Or I could be wrong.
I mean, the money would sound great, but at the same time, I don't want to, you know, just work with anybody, because I feel like, you know, you should work with people that, especially starting out, that are similar to you, so that people can kind of like know where you stand. And for me, unless the show or the project is a success, I am one who isn't really that greedy and cares about the money, because if the show or the project is not at its best, it means nothing to me to make the money, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes total sense. And just so you know, because you don't really know me, but I'm sure you know this, that as somebody who is interviewing somebody else, the questions that I'm asking are not any kind of judgmental thing. It's so that people can get an idea of the type of person you are. So what you just told me tells people a lot about the kind of person you are, which is actually what I was going for.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, because I would probably be the same way, to tell you the truth, because I have sang and I have sung with other people, but I didn't really like it. Not because, ooh, I got a big head, but I just don't like that. But one thing that I could say was there was this one band, and sorry I'm taking up a little bit of your time, but there was this one band that was playing, and I didn't really like them per se, but they were playing in front of another band, and so I was listening to them just because I was waiting for the other band. So they were asking for people to come up and sing, and somebody pushed me up there. Like, I didn't even really want to go up there. Somebody pushed me up there, and the funny thing about it was when they were singing, absolutely nobody was dancing. Nobody. Nobody. When I started singing, everybody in the place got up and started dancing. And I don't think they liked it because they never asked me to sing with them again.
Oh, boy.
And I'm not bragging on myself. I just thought it was funny because they were very good.
I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of people that have experienced that. And, we got to laugh at stuff like that every now and then because, you can't really take anything too personal or too seriously, kind of just got to have to go with it.
Yeah, well, see, that's the way I am. But some people do take it personally. Like, they take everything personally. Just to get into movies a little bit, I'm a semi-professional movie reviewer, and I have had friends ask me to review their movies, and these people know me. And I remind them, okay, you know that I'm going to tell you what I think, not what you want to hear. So make sure that you want my review. No, I'm not brutal or anything. I just tell the truth. And most people, they love when I review their movies, even if it's a little bit on the, I didn't like it. Because the way I review movies, I may not like the movie, but I can find good things about it. Like if it had good direction or good location shots or good music, and there can be like a dozen good things about it, but yet as a whole, I don't like the movie. And but there was this one filmmaker friend of mine who is evidently no longer a friend of mine, he got mad at me because he didn't like my review. And it's not that I panned it or anything. I just said that it was slow moving, and that's not like, a death thing. It's not like, ooh, this is no good because it's slow moving. Because lots of movies are slow moving, but yet they're still good. So the main thing that I said was it was slow moving, and then I said that after I said the good stuff, because that's another thing I do with any reviews, is I always mention the good stuff first, like I previously, the good music or the good directing or whatever, and then I'll go into the stuff that wasn't so good, like, well, it's kind of slow moving, but if you're into this, then you'll like this, and but, yeah, he got really mad at me. And then because one of the other things that I had said, and I said it was a good try, and I think he didn't really like that, because he was trying to be artsy-fartsy, and he was making this, he was making this thing like he was going from one scene to the other and one scene to the other and one scene to the other and one scene to the other real fast, like through one scene. It was one scene. But he kept going like from the left side to the right side to the left side, and he kept doing it back and forth, and one would be in color and one would be in black and white, and he kept doing it. It was like, it was almost enough to make you sick. And I know what you were going for, but you didn't quite get there. I said, but that doesn't mean anything. I'm just a person that's given you what you asked me for, which is my review. Somebody else may look at that and go, hey, that's cool. Because everybody's got their own opinions. But he didn't
right.
take that. He was like, wow, what do you know? And then he blocked me on all media, and he also blocked my phone number because we have each other's phone numbers, and I guess he, you know, conveniently lost my address because I don't get any things from him anymore that I used to get because he used to send me all kinds of stuff, and now I don't get anything, even an email, so I guess he blocked me there too, all just because I said his movie was slow moving. So what are you going to do?
That's a shame.
So my only point to bringing that up was about how some people can just take everything personal. It's like, it wasn't anything personal. In fact, I have taken things that I actually did not like them at all. And when I told people, gave them my review, they actually thought I liked the movie. I didn't tell them that I didn't like the movie because they didn't ask me if I liked the movie. But if they asked me, I would say, no, I didn't like it. But there was one, this won't take long. There was one, it's a French guy from France, and he's a filmmaker, and he had sent me a DVD because he wanted me to review the movie because he knew I spoke French. And so he asked me how I wanted it sent to me. Did I want it with the subtitles or did I want it dubbed? And I said, well, no, I just want it in French. I don't want it dubbed. I don't want it with any of that because when you speak that language, that stuff always takes something away from it because the translations aren't always correct. So he was like elated that I wanted that. That I wanted it the way that he made it. So he sends it to me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like a horrible movie, but it was like one of those trippy movies, like, you know, David Lynch, one of those types of movies. And it was like, what is this that I'm watching? However, it did have the most amazing visual effects. So when he asked me for my review, because he wanted it for the cover of his DVD, because he was gonna, you know, put it on there, like just one sentence, which is, you know, a good thing because that means I didn't have to tell him a lot. So he said, yeah, just give me the one sentence so I can put, or maybe one or two sentences so I can put it on my DVD. And I said, oh sure, I said. The most amazing visual effects that I have ever seen in a movie. And I wasn't lying either, because I don't lie. I'm telling the truth every time I say something when somebody asks me for a review. But that was true. Amazing visual effects. But as for the rest of it, the acting, the directing, everything else, But the visual effects were amazing. So that's what he took from it. He's like, oh, thank you. Missy, Missy, Missy. And he was so happy with that I liked his visual effects, and he put it on the back of his DVD, and I didn't even really like the movie. But he was happy, but that other guy didn't like it. Like, you know, some people you just can't please. So thank you for letting me talk about that. I'm sorry for taking away from your time. Most people don't mind because the way I do my show is like just two people sitting around talking. So if you did mind that I went off and talked about that, then I apologize. So we'll get
that
back to you now.
Story.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That was an interesting story because, you know, it's like, yeah, like you said, you know, if you want a review from somebody, you can't just assume that they're going to like it or that they're going to only tell you what you want to hear, you know? And I think in this day and age, I think a lot of people, like, or artists specifically, what with, like, you know, the technology and, like, the social media we have where people think it's just easy to go, quote, overnight success. a lot of people don't want to, you know, hear the hard truth now. And I think that's why there's a lot of people who don't last very long. And I'm not saying that to, like, shut them down. It's like, I've seen so many talented people that, like, want to, I want them to stick around because I think they're really talented, but it was because they didn't want to hear the truth, or they just wanted to do this whole post or do stuff on social media and become overnight and then not, you know, move forward. And it's like, well, I saw a lot of potential in you and I wanted to see where you go, but it felt like, you know, we didn't really get to know you or get to grow with you. And so I really kind of appreciate that you even brought that story up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks. I've got one more short one if you want to hear it. Actually, I've got a lot more, but it's a good one. And I won't say his name because I didn't ask him if I could, you know, say his name, so I'm not going to do it. But he's a well-known actor, and I am allowed to say that he was in Star Trek. But he's a actor, and he also makes his own films, and he's a director and producer and all that stuff. And he had made this war movie. And now, I'm a kind of person that I don't really care for war movies as a general rule. It's not like I don't like any war movies, because there's quite a few war movies that I really like. One quick, for instance, Humphrey Bogart's Sahara. That is a great movie, a great war movie. It's actually just a great movie, but the fact that it's a war movie and I like it tells you a lot. Well, anyway, so he made this war movie, and he wanted me to review it. And, again, I reminded him. He's like, yeah, I've known you for a long time. I know that. And I said, well, I'm just reminding you. So I go by the five-star system, and I give, like, partial stars. Like, I'll do 1.25 or 1.5, because the way that I do reviews is the effort alone of making a film, because I know what goes into making a film. The effort alone gets you one star. And then everything else that is well done throughout gets stuff added on. And depending on how good it is, like if it's really exceptionally good editing or really exceptionally good directing, then you might get a whole extra star for that, or really good acting. Most of the time it's partial stars, but then it adds up after a while. Now, most war movies are, for me, not everybody, for me, maybe 2.5. Except for that Sahara, that's like a 4. That's like a 4, maybe a 4.5 even. But so I was watching his film, and he wanted my review, and so I said, now, do you want me to go into detail, or do you just want to know if I liked it or not? And he said, well, I want you to go into detail. And I'm not going to do that right now. But eventually I got to the stars, and I said, so here's what I would give your film. I would give it a 3.5. And he was just like on the moon, because he thought that was so great, because he thought the film wasn't that great, which is like what a lot of filmmakers think. They'll make a film and they don't think it's so good, but then somebody else watches it and goes, hey, that's pretty good. And that's basically what happened there, because I watched it and I said, well, it's pretty good. And I said, and here's the other thing I want to point out to you. I don't care for war movies as a general rule. So other people may watch this film, and they may give it a 4 or a 5. And that even made him happier. So I just thought you might like to hear that. I thought that was a cute little one.
Yeah, because, again, everybody has different opinions on something.
Well, yeah, just like with music. I mean, after all, if we didn't like different types of music, there would be no reason to have different types of music.
Right.
Because we'd all like the same kind. Now, see, me, I'm pretty open to everything. Almost everything.
Yeah.
You know, there are some things that, you know. But some people will say, oh, I don't like that. But, okay, yeah, but you're just saying you don't like all of it. That just reminds me of the people that say, I don't like broccoli, when they never even tried it before. You're
right.
Going to say that you're going to say that you don't like rap, but you haven't heard all the rap that there is. And I got somebody really good on that once, and it was with a movie that I did it, because I knew that the song was in there. It's I don't know if you've heard of it or not, but give me a minute, because it just slipped right out of my head. Pluto Nash, The Adventures of Pluto Nash. Did you ever see that?
I did not see that.
The movie, it's not bad, but it's not really good. But it's got Eddie Murphy in it, and it's watchable. But the thing that really was great about it was when it first started is they were singing Blue Moon. And it was rap. It wasn't completely rap, but they had somebody rapping. And then along with that, they had somebody doing more of the traditional, like, torch song singing. And it was beautiful. And so I had seen it first, because this was a friend that said they hated rap. That's what they said. They hated rap. And so I put this movie in. I said, well, let's watch this movie. And so, and really, I just wanted them to hear the song. So as the song started playing, they went, oh, wow, I love that. I've never heard Blue Moon done that way. Said, you do realize that was rap. No, that wasn't. I said, yeah, it was. I said, it was definitely rap. You could tell.
Right.
Well, I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to listen to it again. Well, that's why you don't do that. And that's why, yes, generally speaking, I don't like country music. But there are some country songs that I really like, or I may like how somebody sings them or something, you know. I really haven't heard much of any kind of music that I don't like at all. In fact, I don't think there's anything that I don't like at all. I may not like it that much, like country music, but I like everything. So I'm sure I would love your music.
Yeah, I think you would. I mean, not to toot my own horn, but you know, I think it's the kind that will definitely get you on your feet.
Nothing wrong with tooting your own horn. I mean, because sometimes that's the only way that you can get people to listen to you or to watch you if you're an actor, or, you know, to pay attention to you, is to toot your own horn. Sometimes you got to toot it.
Yeah. Every once in a while, yeah. I do every once in a while, but you can't do it all the time.
Well, no, because then you're just obnoxious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I very seldom toot my own horn, and I've had people say, yeah, but you're a good singer, and I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I don't say that to people because – you know, not everybody likes the same thing. Somebody else may listen to my voice and think, ooh, that sounds like a chalkboard.
Yeah.
But I've never gotten booed. So that's my tooting of my own horn, is that in all the times that I've sung on stage, I was never once booed.
Well, that's good.
Well,
that's
to me,
thing.
It's something, because I know it can happen. So, yeah, So that's the way I toot my own horn. Well, I've never been booed. Okay, there, I'll toot my own horn. And I'm sure you've never been booed.
No, well, not yet, but...
Nah. And even if you ever are, never take any of that to heart, because as you know, I'm sure, there's always haters out there that no matter what you do, they're just going to be trying to take it away from you.
Yeah, well, I try not to, like, get the haters too all wrapped up in my head, because, you know, I know, like, not everybody's going to like everything that I do, and I kind of just brush it off and just remember that it's like, well, maybe it wasn't something that I did wrong, or, like, it was probably the right kind of music for me to be writing or singing, just the wrong, maybe it was the wrong crowd that I was giving it to, you know?
Well, it also could be like maybe they just weren't ready for it at that particular time. Because there have been times when I heard, because I have a lot of friends that sing, like I had said, and sometimes I'll hear them sing and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I'm loving this. And then other times, like, I don't like this. And it's because it has something to do with something that's going on. It has nothing to do with their singing. Just like how you may have a song, like if you get married, let's just say you get married and you're married for 26 years and your wife dies and you had a song, and you may eventually get to where you can listen to it. But, and everybody's different. You may want to hear it all the time. But
right.
I would be the kind that it would take me a while before I would be able to listen to it, even if it was a really good friend of mine that was a really good singer. And then they might think that I didn't like it because of the way that I reacted, but that's not true. So it could just be something going on in their life.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah. But now if they come up and say stuff to you, then that's something else. And, well, then that's their problem.
Yeah,
but, well, you know, excuse me, we're getting close to the end, because even though I kind of extended it, hang on a second, because I got to add some back onto this because of the starting late. Okay, so we do have a little bit more than that. We've got like 15 minutes, because I was looking at it. I'm like, wait a minute. I know that's not what we have left, because I had to extend it to where it shows that it's an hour and a half, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to do an hour. So then
yeah.
I have to take off that half hour. But because we had a 10-minute late start, then I have to add that back.
Yeah.
So we have about 15 minutes or so. So is there something that you want to talk about? Doesn't have to be music related, just anything in general that you may want to talk about. This is your opportunity.
Well, I think I should talk about, I mean, it's kind of music related, but it's kind of like some special news. For instance, all of the songs that I have recorded and just some of the songs that I have out, like out in the world, I will be re-recording them so that I have full ownership of them, because previously I was never given the opportunity to purchase my masters. And I think it's important for artists to make sure that, you know, they have ownership of their craft. Because if you think about it, they put in all of that time, you know, writing it and going through millions of drafts and just coming up with the concept of the song. And they're the ones that are going to be, you know, tracking it, and they're the ones that are going to be performing it everywhere. And I think to, you know, just leave it in the hands of somebody else, I think, you know, that's something I feel that a lot of artists should be paying attention to, because, you know, the industry is not always fair. And I think this will just be a way for me to set an example for people who also want to do this. And that would just be one of my advices to them, is to make sure before they start any kind of recording is that they make sure that they have full ownership of their music, because, you know, it's their craft, it's their story, it's their heart, it's their life that they're sharing with the world. So that's pretty exciting. And I can't wait for, you know, that new kind of chapter in my life to begin. And hopefully, you know, it leads to even more bigger and better opportunities, you know?
Oh, yeah. You always hope for that. Even
of course.
If it's something that, yeah, because even if it's something that, like we discussed before, and mainly I was just like, you know, it just was a discussion, not that I think that you're worried about money, because that was one way of me getting it out of you, if money was more important to you. And there would be nothing wrong with that if it was more important to you, because there are people that I've had in interviews with that they said the money was very important. And some of them even say that's the most important, because everybody's got their own thing. So it's like there's no really right or wrong answers. It's just your answer. So
right.
You're not all that interested in the money. I mean, you're interested in the money, yes, but it's not like the end-all and the do-all of everything.
Right.
Like, say,
and
if somebody said, hey, I asked Mariah Carey if she wanted to do a duet with you, and she said, yeah, but you won't get paid. Will you do it? You know you would.
Yeah. If we lived in, like, a perfect world, like, I would say no, but unfortunately, sometimes you have to say yes, because you have to remember this is a business that you're in, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to pay, you know, like, if you have a manager, you have to pay them. If you have a booker that got you the opportunity, they have to have
right.
their cut, because they have to, you know, and then you have to pay the people that, like, helped assisting in production. And, you know, you have to, if you have like a label behind you, they have to have their cut. So it's one of those things where it's like, if you could do it for free, if we lived in a perfect world, of course you would say yes, but unfortunately that's not always the case. But yeah,
I
definitely understand what you're saying.
Well, what I meant when I said you know that you would if you could. You wouldn't just like poo-poo
yeah.
it and say, oh, no, I don't want to do that unless I make and name some astronomical amount. I don't think you'd be doing
yeah.
that. Playing diva.
No,
that's the kind of thing I meant.
Yeah, I'm not like that, though, but like, even if it were to, you know, if an opportunity like that came along, you know, chances are, like, I would make, probably depending on, like, who the artist was. Like, if it was somebody that was, like, very, very well known, more than likely I would just take the opportunity and say yes, because I feel like just getting to have that experience that could potentially change your life and change your career, that's more important than, you know, the money side of the industry to me.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was trying to draw out of you, because I just from talking to you, I can tell that, well, plus you've actually said that that's really more how you roll, that yes, you would want to do it, and you even probably would, even if you came out a little bit behind, because like what you've said, more than likely, I won't say 100%, but more than likely, if you did a duet with Mariah Carey and it was like out there for the world to listen to and everybody knew your name, like, oh yeah, Pop Baby, sing with Mariah Carey, you can't buy that publicity.
No.
So you already bought it just by singing with her. Now, I didn't,
yeah,
get,
of course
I didn't
anybody
get famous.
Would.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, because there was a layover again. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, yeah, anybody, even, like, you know, like, people will say, like, oh, you can just buy, you know, the publicity, because people can always say, like, oh, I've sung with this person, oh, I've sung with that person. But when it comes to somebody like, you know, like Mariah Carey, you can't put a price on that kind of publicity. You know, that's something, like, if you've done that, if you've worked with someone like her, obviously people are going to know. There isn't going to be somebody who, you know, doesn't know, or they might mm-hmm. not know yet, but if they could easily look that up and see that you did, you know, that's something you can't really buy, or you can't just, you know, talk the talk.
Right, right. Oh, I get you. I mean,
yeah.
I never got famous from this, mainly because it was like way, way, way back in the old days before there were cars. No, not really, of course. But back in the 80s. And Tina Turner was really, you know, pretty popular back then. And, excuse me, my boyfriend at the time, he opened for Tina Turner quite often. He opened for other famous artists, too, but he opened for her quite often because I guess they were friendly. And, excuse me. So I saw her several times, and the one time she asked me if I wanted to sing with her. And I'm like, at first I didn't think I'd want to, because I'm like, what if I sound terrible and I'm going to sing next to her? But then I said, hey, I get to sing with Tina Turner. So I sang with Tina Turner. But it wasn't
wow.
like on... Yeah, it wasn't on videotape or anything, or at least not that I'm aware of. Somebody may have taken a video, but it was never, like, you know, put out there. But, yeah, and then what made it even better, the experience, was that she told me that I had a good voice, and she said that I did all the moves right, because we were doing Proud Mary.
That is my favorite Tina Turner song.
Oh, you're going to have to watch something of her sometime. But Proud Mary, if you see her perform it, is like she does this thing where she's like shaking and well, it's like a whole thing. She's dancing around. And then there's a part where she's going, ooh. Of course, I'm not doing it right now because, you know, I'm not trying to sing. But she told me that I had all of that right. And so I was like, wow, Tina Turner told me I could sing. I think I can die now. not really. Not really, but yeah, that was my big experience with singing. But getting back to you, of course, since this is your show and we don't have that much more time left for you, what would be a venue that you would be interested in going to, like some big place that people have, you know, bands and performances and stuff like that? Is there a specific venue that you'd want to go to?
I mean, this is probably like really down the road, and it's going to take a lot more, you know, like hard work and networking and, you know, preparing for. But my biggest dream is to be headlining at Madison Square Garden, because I feel like if you get to perform at the Garden, you, I'm not going to say made it, because I don't really believe in that term, making it, because it's like, define making it, because even when you get that one big break, that doesn't guarantee you a spot in the music world for life. You kind of have to, like, you have to constantly follow up with what you're doing, but I think it definitely can cement your name into the industry, and it gives you that credit to say that you've headlined Madison Square Garden, because it's, you know, probably one of the largest venues, largest concert places ever.
Oh, yeah. And there's nothing wrong with aspiring to that, because it's not like you think you're going to do it overnight. You know that you have to work for it. But there's nothing wrong with that. Not at all.
Yeah.
So
no.
We've got like maybe 3 minutes. So I'm going to, excuse me, I'm going to have you tell people again about you playing at the Hard Rock Cafe on May the 9th and the starting time and where to buy the tickets and all that stuff.
Yes. Once again, the Hard Rock Cafe, May 9th, I'll be performing. The doors open at 7, and the show starts at 7:30. And right now, the tickets are $15 a piece, and you can either get them through me personally by contacting me, private messaging me on all my social media, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at PopBabyOfficial, and, you know, or you can leave me a message saying that you want a ticket, but you would rather me just hold it for you at the door. I can definitely do that. And I definitely think that a lot of people should come on out, because it's a great venue. Everybody loves that place. It's right in the heart of Pittsburgh, and it would be a great opportunity for everybody to come together and just have a good time and to support the local talent that Pittsburgh has to offer. And again, this is a venue I have always wanted to play. And now that the restrictions from COVID are kind of lifted, I have been given the opportunity. And I feel like if a lot of people came and supported me in performing there, that would mean the world to me, and I would say it might lead to other things, but that wouldn't be just on me, you know. I would definitely have to thank the fans, the audience, because they determine how far you go as a singer and songwriter. So I definitely think people should come out and just have a good time with me. Let's get to know each other, you know, like, let's make some, you know, make some connections, make some friends. And I think it'll be a great opportunity for me to meet new fans and gain new fans and to get to know them a little bit more, so that I know how to entertain them better, or how to entertain them even more.
Yeah, I understand that totally. Okay, we've
got maybe
30 seconds. We're not, like, constrained too much, because I do have the extra time over. So it's not like normally what it is I kind of have to rush at the end, because if you're on the strict schedule, which usually they are, you if you don't end the show within 2 minutes of the allotted time, they'll just cut you off in the middle of a sentence. But that won't happen this time, though. But so I'll give you even past the 30 seconds if you need it. But is there anything that you want to say in the last, whatever, 30 seconds, 1 minute, 2 minutes, that you really want to say to people? Now's your chance.
I just want to say thank you to everybody who has bought tickets to the show, and I encourage others to, and to follow me on social media, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Pop Baby Official to get all the updates on concert dates, new music, and other fun things that are going on in my career, because I would love to share them with all of you.
Aw, that's very sweet. Okay, my guest was Pop Baby, and as you heard, he's been a great guest. And thank you very much for being on the show. And it was a delight having you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Oh, most certainly. You are welcome. And thank you again, because I really appreciate it. And hopefully you'll get a few listens out of this, I hope. All right, I'm going to end the show now. So, I'm sorry. Did you want to say something else?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you don't have anything else to say, I'm going to go ahead and end the show. But I always say goodnight so I don't just, just cut somebody off. So have a good night.
You too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.